Just had you say that because I wanted to stick that thought in your head, and I want you all to pay attention because I really do think that what we have to talk about this morning from God's Word will help each and every one of you significantly with your life. All right? Now, last week, if you look at the screen, we started this series called The Peer Puzzle, and we're talking about where do you fit in? You know, last week we played a little game with a puzzle, and we talked about how life sometimes can be like a puzzle, not a real easy little Dora or Diego puzzle, but like life can sometimes be like one of those really hard puzzles with like 1,000 pieces and it's a bunch of M&Ms spread out on a table. Have you ever seen those puzzles before? That it's like impossible almost to find where every piece goes because they all look so much the same. And that's sometimes how life is in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, in high school, and even as an adult. It is really difficult to find out in this sea of people that we interact with every day, where our spot is. Where do we fit in? Where's our place? I don't want to add anything on to my puzzle piece. I don't want to cut a piece off to make it fit, because if I put it in a place where it doesn't belong, the picture won't make sense. So how can I make the picture of my life make sense by finding the place where I fit in without having to add anything on or take anything away from myself? And last week we talked about one way to do that is to surround yourself with the right pieces, to find the right friends. And we talked about how to choose friends, and hopefully you talked about that in your small group. Well, this week, we're going to talk about something that is kind of like keeping the pieces out of the wrong places on the puzzle board. You know how sometimes you find pieces that look alike and you divide them out into sections, and you got, okay, I got a group here, and I'm going to work on this section first and then this section. And you don't want to misplace a piece from this section and have it over in this section. You want to stay away from the bad places. But so often in our lives, we are tempted and drawn toward places where we just don't fit in, places that are not the right place for us. This is something, sit up in the back if you're laying down. Everybody, if you're laying down, sit up. I want you to be able to hear this and pay attention. But commonly, this is known as, what you've probably heard before, is peer pressure. You guys ever heard of peer pressure before? And so this morning, we're going to talk about peer pressure, the pressure to fit in a place where you shouldn't be, the temptation to go to a place or to be found in a place doing a thing that you shouldn't be doing. Now, I want you all to think in your heads, when is the first time, or maybe the first time you really remember experiencing peer pressure? Think about it. Think about your life. When's the first time you felt pressured by your peers to do something that you weren't sure was right or wrong? You felt a temptation from others. Everybody got it? Still thinking? I thought about that this week, and I went all the way back to second grade. Did anybody go back earlier than second grade? You could remember a time earlier in second grade when you, no? Anybody? So I was the earliest? Did anybody go to second grade? Yeah, when was yours, Paul? How old were you? You were like 5, so like kindergarten. Yeah, what? How old were you? Daycare? You went to some sort of messed up daycare. Yours was earlier too? How? No? What? Second grade, you guys got some in the back too? And second grade was when I really clearly remembering for the first time experiencing peer pressure. And here's what happened. I had these two friends, Wade Chamberlain and Travis Sousa. And they were kind of the tough kids in second grade, if you can have a tough second grader. I mean, I could take any of them now, but they were kind of the tough, cool kids in second grade. And so obviously I wanted to attach myself with them and be friends with the cool kids. And one day at recess, okay, we went outside for recess. Remember the days of recess? Wasn't that nice? We had like a couple recesses a day back then. It was so awesome. Now I have recess whenever I want because I'm not in school. Suckers! Anyways... in second grade, we were out at recess, and Travis Sousa pulls out of his pocket a handful of balloons. Oh, balloons are fun. And they said, hey, David, you know what you should do? You should take one of these balloons and go inside and fill it up with water and bring it back out here. And, well, I knew that was wrong because I know you're not supposed to go inside during recess. You have to stay outside. You can't go back in the building unless you ask a teacher and you need to use the restroom and all that. So I knew that was wrong. But also, the idea of having a water balloon at elementary school recess sounded really fun. It also sounded a little bit like that might be wrong too. But they were pretty sure that it was a good idea, so I trusted them. And I said, okay, and I took the balloon, and I snuck into the building when the teacher aide wasn't looking outside at recess, and I went into the sink that we had in our classroom, and I filled up the balloon with water, And because I was in second grade, I was too dumb to know how to tie it. Because you know how you, when you're younger, you're like, I don't know how to tie this. Some of you guys still don't know how to tie water balloons. But I didn't know how to tie it, so I'm like, okay, I've just got this balloon full of water. That's what they told me to do, so I'm going to take it back outside. Well, on my way back out the door, the teacher saw me. And so now I'm caught red-handed with two things. One, going inside the building at recess, and two, having a water balloon full of water. I'm like, oh, no. And so the teacher comes up, David, you know you're not supposed to go inside during recess, and what are you doing with that balloon full of water? You need to pour that out right now. And I was like, okay, I will, I'm sorry. And I was like, whew, I totally got off with just a verbal reprimand, which is a really good thing. And so everyone at this point is lining up to come back into the classroom. So I take my water balloon, and I just kind of start letting the water out. Wade and Travis are right there, and they're like, oh, man, it looks like you're peeing. Make it look like you're peeing. So I take the water bottle, and I'm like, woo! And I'm like going up and down the line. All the kids are laughing. You can pinch the end of the balloon to make it, you know, shoot out in different directions. So I'm like, yeah! I'm having like this party, like this pee party with this water balloon deal, okay? And all the kids are laughing. Well, that was kind of the final straw for the teacher. And she saw me doing that, and she said, David, you need to go inside right now. And she did the thing that you hate when all teachers do. She grabbed my arm. Yeah, you hate that when an adult grabs your arm. She grabbed my arm. And she walked me inside. And she made me pour out the rest of the water balloon in the sink. And I tried to pee in the sink. No, I didn't do that. She made me pour out the rest of the water balloon in the sink. She set me down. And she was mad. And she said, David, you're going to have to write 200 sentences. That's a lot of sentences for a second grader. And I'm going to call your mom. You don't like that when that happens. And I hated that because the rest of the afternoon I had to sit there and write, I will not go inside during recess and fill up water balloons. I will not. And luckily I didn't have to write and act like I'm peeing. I didn't have to add that on. But I had to write these 200 sentences over and over and over again. And everyone in the class I felt like was looking at me like I was this bad person and like I had failed. And I knew that my parents were going to be disappointed in me and my teacher was disappointed in me. And I felt this sense of guilt inside of me. And I learned two things about peer pressure today that I think you guys all know are true. Two things about temptation that I think you all know are true, but I want to remind you of this morning because it'll really help you with your life. And here's the first thing. When it comes to temptation, there's always, listen to this, and look, we're going to put it up on the screen. There's always more at stake than what you think. When it comes to temptation, there's always more at stake than what you think. You see, when Travis and Wade asked me to go inside and fill up a water balloon with water, all I thought was at stake in that moment was what they thought about me. That's all I thought was at stake was what Travis and Wade thought about me. And if I didn't do what they wanted me to do, they wouldn't like me or they wouldn't think I was cool or they didn't think I had any guts. And so that's what I thought was at stake. But what I learned about temptation that day is that there's always more at stake than what you think. You see, what was at stake for me was this, consequences. I got in trouble with the teacher. I had to write sentences. All the other kids thought I was a bad kid all of a sudden because I had to write sentences. My parents were disappointed and mad at me. And most importantly, inside of my own heart in second grade, I felt this sense of kind of guilt and shame for what I had done wrong. And I was embarrassed. And at the end of it all, guess what happened? A couple weeks later, I remember this so vividly in my head. Something else happened where Travis and Wade were trying to get me to do something. And that time I said no. And Travis held me up against a fence, and Wade punched me in the stomach over and over again, and then they just left me there. And I was never friends with them again. And so what I thought was at stake was what these two bullies thought about me, but there was a lot more at stake because what they thought really didn't matter at the end of the day because they ended up being jerks and ditching me. But what I lost was my own integrity with that teacher, my relationship with my parents there for a second where they were frustrated with me, and my own kind of sense of integrity that I had violated. And so when it comes to you guys getting tempted or peer pressured, I want you to remember that there's always more at stake than what you think. Look at this scripture, and before I move on to the second thing, if we can go to James 1, 13 through 15. Look at what the Bible says about temptation. It says, when you're tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one of you is tempted when by his own evil desire, he's dragged away and enticed. Now look at this last verse, because this is what I really want you guys to think about, is then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. You see, what's at stake when it comes to temptation isn't just what's happening in that moment. Because when your temptation turns into a desire to do the wrong thing, and that desire gives birth to sin, it's going to result in death in your life. And there are going to be parts of your life, your integrity, your opportunity to lead other people and be an example to them, your standing of trust with your parents and with other people in authority, all of those things die when you give in to temptation. Because temptation, when that desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin always results in death. So when it comes to temptation, there's always more at stake than what you think. And here's the second thing I learned when I was in second grade about temptation is this. When it comes to temptation, it's an issue of who you trust. The real issue is who you trust. In that moment, I trusted two second grade kids with my destiny. I trusted Travis and Wade. I didn't trust my own heart, what it was telling me to do. I didn't trust what the teachers had told me was right or wrong beforehand. I didn't trust what my parents had told me about obeying the rules and doing the right thing. I didn't trust any of those things. I trusted Travis and Wade. And when it comes to temptation, the real issue at the root of it all is who you trust. And I'm going to tell you now, you're old enough that you know right from wrong, not just because your teachers tell you it, not just because your parents tell you it, not just because of some, you know, conscience you have inside of you, but a lot of you guys have this relationship with God, and you have had enough experience with God's word, and you've had enough of a relationship with him that you know that his spirit is living inside of you, and you know what's right and wrong. And the real issue when it comes to temptation is, do I trust myself, my own desires, what other people want me to do, or do I trust what God wants me to do? And that he'll take care of me if I don't give in to this temptation. So often we put our fate, we put our destiny, our identity in someone else's hands when we give in to temptation and peer pressure, when really we should trust it to God. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. This is an awesome verse. This is like a really long verse, but this is one of the first verses that I memorized when I was younger in high school. And I encourage you guys to look at it maybe later and try to memorize it. No temptation has seized you. No peer pressure has come upon you except what is common to man. And God is faithful, and he will always let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. No, it doesn't say that. It says God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, and notice it says when you're tempted, not if you're tempted, every one of you guys is going to face peer pressure, and you're going to face temptation at one time or another. But when you're tempted, God will also provide a way out for you so that you can stand up under it. God will provide a way out for you so that you can stand up under it. And so the issue here is, do I trust God to provide a way out for me from this temptation? And then if I see a window, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to get out of this peer pressure situation. I'm going to get out of this temptation. I'm going to say no to whatever it is. Or do we trust what other people want us to do or what our own desires say? When it comes to temptation, the real issue is trust. Now, I've told you two things about temptation this morning, and I want to ask you something now. I want to ask you a question, so listen. What are the things that you're tempted by? What are the things that you're going to experience pressure to do, or that you have experienced pressure to do? Don't think about the first time when you were younger. Think about the last time, right now, at the age you're at now. What are your temptations? Are you tempted? Here's what mine was when I was younger, and mine still is. I'm tempted to compromise what is right to be funny. Anybody ever said something that they know they shouldn't have said, or watched something they know they shouldn't have watched because they wanted to be funny with the funny crowd? Are you tempted to compromise what is right to gain acceptance, to do what somebody else wants you to do just so you can be accepted? Are you tempted to use bad language to fit in? We've talked about that in the fall, about this changes everything about your tongue. Are you tempted to use your tongue in a bad way? Are you tempted to gossip in order to fit in to what somebody's talking about? Are you tempted, girls, to maybe compromise what is healthy for your body in order to be what you think or what you think others think is more attractive? Are you tempted to compromise what is modest in the way you dress in order to try to make yourself more attractive? Are you tempted to cheat in school because someone else asked you for the answers, or because someone put pressure on you to get good grades? Are you tempted to watch movies or listen to music that fill your heart and mind with evil? Are you tempted to go too far in physical relationships with the opposite sex because of the way it feels, because of what they want you to do? Have you been tempted in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade to try drugs or alcohol or smoking or any of those things? Are you tempted when you're over at a friend's house, guys, to look at things on the internet that you know are wrong and you know are inappropriate? What are your temptations? What are your pressures? And here's what I want to challenge you to do in the midst of temptation. I'm going to tell you what you can do when you face peer pressure, when you're tempted. Here is what you can do in order to avoid the consequences and all the things that are at stake, in order to avoid compromising your faith in God. Before I tell you what that thing is, I want to show you a quick video clip. This is from my favorite TV show, Lost. Does anybody watch Lost? Okay, let me give you a little background because not all of you guys watch it. Basically, a plane crashes on this island and all this freaky weird stuff starts happening. Okay, listen. So there's all this weird stuff going on this island where these plane crash people are. And there's this other group of people that were living on the island beforehand. And all of a sudden, we start to find out that there may be someone behind all the weird stuff that's happening that might have some answers to the mysteries of this show. And the person's name that might have the answers, his name is Jacob. Listen. And so there's a man named Ben and a man named John Locke. And Ben takes John Locke. John Locke is one of the crash victims. Ben's one of the guys that's been on the island. And Ben takes John, and he's going to introduce him to Jacob. And so maybe right now, in this clip we're going to watch, we're going to see, we're going to get to meet Jacob, and we're going to get some answers about how weird this island is. So watch this little clip. It's about 3 minutes long, so get where you can see the screen and watch this.
Jacob, I'm here with John Locke. We're coming in now.
Jacob, this is John. Aren't you going to say hello, John? What? I told you he wouldn't.
Who are you talking about?
You can't see him?
See who?
Jacob. He's sitting right here, in this chair. Yes, I know, but he insisted.
What is this?
He wanted the secrets of the island? Well, here they are. This is the man who can answer every single... I am not. He made me bring him here. Did you think that was my... Sorry, may I finish?
You're crazy. Excuse me? You don't know anything about the island, do you? You just made it all up.
Jacob, please, I can't hear him.
Stop.
If you're going to talk
Stop
over
it.
What he said.
Shut up! You putting on a show for me? Or do you really think there's someone there?
I know there's someone there.
You don't know anything.
I'm sorry you feel that way, John. And I'm sorry that you're too limited to see.
You're pathetic.
Help me.
What did you just say?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, yes, you did. I heard you. You said...
That's enough! You've had your fun!
Now, if you're like me, when I watched that the first time, I was like, what just happened? I had no idea what just happened. But here's the cool thing about Lost. Here's why it's my favorite show. It's all throughout the show, from the first season up to now. They've been through three seasons. They hide little secret things in the background or in a flash. They hide clues and different things in the show. And this scene is no different. And what's so cool about the age we live in now is that a lot of people have TiVo or DVRs, and you can watch the show and you can pause in different places, and you can see stuff that you didn't see when you watched it the first time. So let's bring the lights down and let's watch part of that scene again, and we're going to pause it. Watch.
That's enough. You've had your fun.
See it? So there is someone in the chair. Leave it there for a second, Clint. Shh. In the midst of all the crazy stuff, listen, that was going on in that scene. You know, when John thought he was too limited to see, I thought when I watched that, well, I'm too limited to see what's going on. I have no idea what's going on. But when you pause it and you stop for a second, just a second right there, you can see that there really is someone there. Now, I don't know that that gives me any more answers than I wanted about the show or solves any mysteries, but it does tell me that this person, Jacob, is something that's real and I need to think about. Okay, you can bring the lights back up. Here's why I show you that clip. Sometimes life can get crazy and things can go on in your life that are hard to make sense of, especially when you're in a situation with people that you think are your friends, that you think are your best friends, people that maybe you've known all your life or people that you're really close to, you think you can trust. And then all of a sudden, you get in a situation with them where they're pressuring you or tempting you to do something that you know is wrong. And in that moment, it's really hard to remember what we talked about this morning, that there's always more at stake when it comes to temptation, and that it's really an issue of who you trust. It's hard to remember that unless, right in the middle, when you're getting tempted, when you're getting pressured, unless you can just pause. And if you can just pause for 1 second and think, what's going on here? This is peer pressure. This is temptation. And there's more at stake here than just what they think of me or just what they want me to do. And that this is an issue about if I really trust God to provide a way out for me. And if you'll just pause and say, what's at stake and what's my way out? You'll be able to get out from under that temptation, and you'll also be able to get out from all of the consequences that follow. And I know this has been kind of a long message. Melissa's church out yet? So we're going to wrap up, but we're going to wrap up with one more thing. Chase, come up here to the stage. Some of you guys know Chase Ferris. Chase is an eighth grader. And recently, Chase faced the kind of quintessential experience of peer pressure or temptation. What? I know, right? You're looking good in the light, my man. And so I wanted to bring Chase up here real quick just to share with you his story. Let me grab this mic for you, Chase, and tell you guys, you know, how he paused and how he came out of it. Chase, just tell us what happened. Here, I'll give it you set up and you can tell us what happened. Basically, Chase gets invited over to a friend's house. You thought it was just going to be a couple guys. It ended up being like 6, 7, or 8 guys, right? Gets over there. There's a bunch of guys. And they were going to go to Jake's to get hamburgers, right? That's what Chase thinks. So, Chase, you go over these guys' house. You're getting ready to go to Jake's. And what happens?
Well, at first, I was there. And I had to go home and clean my room. And I went back. And there ended up being like 7 or 8 guys there. And when I walked in, they said they're all excited. Yeah, we're going to Hooters and stuff like that. And they were jumping around and all sorts of stuff. And I walked in, and right when they said that, they all went back to the computer room. They were sitting on there on MySpace and stuff. And
okay,
I told
pause right there. Okay, for those of you who don't know, Hooters is a restaurant where the waitresses are all women and where they wear really tight clothes and where they show off their bodies. And they become kind of objects of men's lust and desire and fantasy and all that stuff. And so there's a reason why guys would be jumping around all excited to go to that is because they want to see something they don't get to see every day, which is a bunch of women on show. But Chase, what did you think right when you heard that?
I just thought, there's no way I'm going there. It made me look real bad. Everybody would, it'd just be bad. And it wouldn't be right in God's eyes. So I just told one of my friends that I'm not going. And one of my friends, who's been one of my best friends since kindergarten, told me just to lie and say that we're going to Jake's. And so I said,
lie to your parents, right?
Yeah, lie to my parents. And I told them, no, that's not happening. So I walked outside, and I called my dad, and he came and picked me up. And then about 10 minutes later, once I got home, about probably 20 minutes, the same guy that told me to lie called me and said that they're really going to Jake's. And I made him swear that we were going there. And he ended up changing everybody else's mind about going to Hooters.
All right. So here's what happened in that story, guys, is that he got peer pressure. And you kind of overlooked it. The first time I heard you talk about it, the guys were egging you on, going, come on, man, come on. And they were telling you to lie, right? That he's getting pressured to go do something that he knows in his heart, that if God's watching him, he's not going to go objectify these women. He's not going to go oogle at them. He's not going to cause his heart to lust and confuse, you know, what God created for good and turn it into something bad. He's not going to do it. And so he pauses for a second. And here's what's at stake, what these six or seven guys think about Chase. But he knew there was something more at stake, which was his own integrity. And also his opportunity to set an example and to lead what a Christ follower looks like for those six or seven guys. And so in that moment, it didn't take him very long. But in that short pause, he knew, nope, that's not something I'm going to do. I trust God, not these guys. And look at what God did in this situation. And I'm not going to tell you it's going to happen every time, but God used him to change the mind of all those other guys to decide to do what was right instead of what was wrong. And so when you trust God, he will provide a way out. He provided not just a way out through a ride from his parents, but a way out of the whole situation where he could still be friends with those guys and hang out with them, but they didn't have to go do the wrong thing. And that's what happens when you trust God, is he does provide a way out. Now, let me ask you one more question. You know, if you had it to do over again, would you do the same thing?
Yeah, definitely.
Any regrets?
Nope.
Did they make fun of you, treat you bad?
Right at the beginning a little bit, not too much, and then it ended up not, and then when I got back from my house, they did a little bit, but not too much.
But now, it's kind of forgotten, and so,
yeah.
Was it worth it?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's totally worth it, guys. You're going to face, thank you, Chase, you can sit down. Let's hear it for Chase right there, everybody. I mean, guys, you're going to face it. You're going to face the peer pressure and the temptation. And I just want you to know there's always more at stake than what you think. And it's a matter about your faith of who you trust. Do you trust yourself or your friends? Or do you really trust God that he's looking out for your best interest? And if you do the right thing, he's going to take care of you. Pause. Think about those two things. See what happens.